Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. For today, Sunday, August 24th, we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. We have Los Angeles-based beauty photographer Courtney Daly, but before we speak with Courtney, just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have a question for our guest tonight, or if you just want to make a comment, make sure you call that number and press the option to speak with the host. And you can also join us on our tweet chat by using hashtag Beauty Lounge. And now I'm going to turn it over to Denise, and she has the beauty.
Good evening, everyone, and again, welcome to the show. Get down to business at the Powder Group's newest career development program, the Business Forum LA. The Business Forum LA will be the most well-rounded and career-altering business program that the Powder Group has ever produced. The three-day business focus forum will feature experts from across the industry, including top artists, agents, union heads, brand owners, and business experts, coming together for three packed days of panels, interviews, and discussions. With a limit of 40 attendees, the program will allow for the most connected and focused artist development and networking of any program of its type. More than 18 presenters over 3 days will help attendees look at their business and career with a renewed focus and unique perspectives for each presenter with unprecedented access to the most important leaders in the industry. Presenters will include Sue Cabral Ebert, she's the president of Local 706, Leonard Engelman, he's the owner of Talk Skincare, Alphonse Webelt is the co-founder of Muse Beauty Pro. Leanne Farb, social media expert. Maurice Stein is the founder of Cinema Secrets. Sarah Lucero is the global director of education for Stila Cosmetics. Timothy Priano is the owner and artist, the owner of Artists by Timothy Priano. Madeline Leonard is the owner director of Crudier Remix. Kimberly Borger is the branding and marketing expert. Joanna Schlipp is a celebrity makeup artist and founder of RCK Beauty. Donald Simrock is a makeup artist and beauty editor. Eugenia Weston, owner of Senna Cosmetics. We have Albert Sanchez, photographer. Patty Bunch, department head and founder of The Bungalow. We have Debbie Zoller, department head, celebrity makeup artist. Trevor Proud is department head, Academy and Emmy Award-winning makeup artist. Michael DeVellis, founder of The Powder Group and On Makeup Magazine, and James Vincent, director of artistry and education for The Makeup Show and a beauty editor. The event details, again, Saturday, November 8th through Monday, November 10th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Stila Cosmetics Training Center, 801 North Brand, Suite 500 in Glendale, California. The rate for this symposium is $390 for Powder Group members before September 15th, $490 after September 15th. For non-members, the class rate is $490 before September 15th and after. It goes up $100 to $590 after September 15th. $100 reserves your spot. So if you want more information on the Business Forum LA, you can go to thebusinessforumla.com. Celebrity makeup artist Francesca Talat is releasing a new coffee table book One Woman, 100 Faces. The book will be in stores on September 14th, but pre-sales are taking place right now on Amazon at Amazon.com. Last week I spoke with you all about Premier Birmingham, the beauty event in the Southeast, and so I think I went over a lot of the hair education that was going to be taking place, and I just wanted to quickly talk a little bit about the makeup and the skincare, some of those classes really quickly. This Premier Birmingham takes place October 19th through 20th in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Center. It's a really big show. If you haven't heard of it, but you are a hairstylist, a nail tech, makeup artist, or skincare specialist, this is a show for each of you, because it covers all of those areas as well as business. It's a huge show in the Southeast. And very quickly, a couple of the classes I just wanted to mention really quickly, Dermavista Medical Aesthetics featuring Tom Jackson. That's going to take place on Sunday and Monday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Jet Clear Saline Exfoliation, Facial Detox, and Serum Infusion will be the topic of that class. Martini Beauty, Sunday, 15 to 3:30. That particular class is Fast Money Comes from Fixing All Skin Imperfections Permanently and Aesthetics. And on Monday from 2:15 to 3:30, Microdermabrasion, Past, Present, and Future, and that's all by Martini Beauty. James Wealthy Systems featuring James Wealthy. James is at this show every year. Sunday, 12:30 to 1:45, and Sunday at 4 p.m. to 5:15 p.m. And then again Monday from 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., his class will cover how to do facial threading and Wealthy Keratin Mink and Extension Eyelash System. Again, that's James Wealthy Systems. Nancy King, featuring Nancy King, Sunday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., Advanced Aesthetic Devices and Practices, The Line Between Medicine and Beauty. And the very last one that I wanted to mention was Rose Skincare Products, featuring Kelly Hobson, Sunday and Monday from 2:15 to 3:30, Introduction to Chemical Peels. So I think there's a little bit for everyone at this particular show, so I just wanted to share that bit of information.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Again, like I said at the top of the show, our guest tonight is Los Angeles-based beauty photographer Courtney Daly. First, welcome to the show, Courtney. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. From what I know about you, you started your career off as a makeup artist. So
absolutely,
can you just introduce yourself to our listening audience and just talk a little bit about how you started off in makeup and what inspired you to become a makeup artist, and then go into that transition of how you got into photography.
All right. Well, how much time do you have? I'm just kidding.
Well,
right?
All the time that you need.
That's their story, right? Okay, so this is the nutshell of it. Is I had got involved into a pageant when I was about 17 years old, and I had done my own makeup for the pageant, and a lot of girls who were doing a pageant that I was in back in Detroit asked me how I was doing my eyes. And this is like the early 90s, so I was like, I just kind of blended the eyeshadow. I'm like, how did you do that? It looks crazy. So at that time, it was, I guess, everyone did basically a single wash of color on the lid, and that's as far as you went. So when I was doing all these blends of colors, it was kind of a kickback to old school, like Lancome ads and Estee Lauder ads with color and blending, and they were just so stoked. So I started kind of doing makeup based out of necessity, and these girls asking if I could do my eyes like that, like that would be so great. And then I started building my book that way, and I really found that I loved it. It felt like I was working on a different canvas, because I'd always been interested in painting, and this was just a new canvas now. So it was really fun to start building, but like I said, I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and the market there is small and highly competitive, and I just kept on thinking, like, how do I become that makeup artist who does a massive, like, tier one magazine cover? How does that possibly happen to somebody like me? So I kept on trying to build my book, And my book was looking beautiful, but it was very Detroit, which is a very commercial or very glamour market. And I wanted beautiful work in my book. I wanted pretty faces. So out of necessity, I started shooting my own work. And within just a few months of shooting my own work, I already had the agencies throwing me all the girls locally. I was producing clean, beautiful work. It wasn't overproduced. I saw skin pores still. It was really basically beauty work, which was, I mean, Detroit's not a beauty market at all. So I kind of had a one-off. It was really great. And then really quickly, I found that I just kind of overgrew my market. So that's how I ended up in L.A. I had to be somewhere. I had to be somewhere that was beauty bound, which was New York or LA, and being a girl from Detroit, I had to choose, do I want sunshine or do I want snow? So I made the obvious conclusion that sunshine sounds great. So that's kind of how I got started. But I still work quite a bit as a makeup artist, and I love both roles. They are very different when I work on a set as a makeup. In fact, I love it because it's great to be that part of a team in a different capacity versus being like the ringleader. So it's fun in both ways.
Nice. At what point did you say this photography business? I think I want to incorporate this into everything else that I'm doing. At what point did you really know it?
Well, it was just, you know, immediately when I saw that my book was looking like what I envisioned. As a makeup artist, you always have this vision of what you want your book to look like. You look at magazines, you're inspired everywhere, and you keep on seeing, okay, what? How can I get that? Like, how does that happen? And when you try for like a year or two, and you're like, that's not happening, but I have that in my brain. And I think that a lot of makeup artists, especially when you first start, you're just a people pleaser. So you just do whatever the photographer wants. So I had a great book that was filled with really heavy-handed technique and lots of really smoky eyes, and I could do that fabulously, but I wanted skin. So yeah, when I realized that, like, wait, I can do both of these things. My back kills me at the end of the evening, but I can do both of these things and get what I'm looking to achieve. It was just an epiphany that came out of the blue that was amazing because I suddenly saw my career moving where I wanted to go, which was really exciting.
Right. How do you know? You talk about us knowing, as makeup artists, we know what we want our books to look like. Same thing with manicurists and hairstylists and even stylists. How do we get there, I guess? I mean, I know visually we can say, oh, we want it to look like this. But sometimes I feel like that's based on sometimes other people's work. Or, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's why I always say, like in a lot of my mentoring that I do, I say, no matter what you do in a creative field, you always start off emulating someone else. Mm-hmm. So you find somebody, usually someone in your own market that you are competing against, and you're in your mind, like, if I can do what that person's doing, I will be okay. I would have made it by then. And you're kind of emulating and doing it kind of step after step. And then you start realizing, like, wait, like, this is not my voice. Like, I can do this, but I want to do something more like this. And when we first get started, too, we're very inspired by everything. And I always joke around, that's when we get out the glitter and the feathers, and we just go crazy. And we always still have it inside, but we have to, like, hold it in more because we can't do too many more feather shoots without people going more feather shoots seriously. So I think that we kind of refine ourselves as we go. And I think initially, okay, so we emulate everyone else's work, and then eventually we start kind of finding our own voices because whether we were raised in a certain area or we have a certain aesthetic or whatever your past has brought into who you are today really brings up who you are today as a makeup artist. So I always try to tell people, I'm like, dude, if you do great skin work, then, like, make sure you're working on beauty. If you do great special effects stuff, like, work on that. Like, do what really gets your heart pumping and that you do really well. Like, don't feel like you have to be a jack of all trades. Like, makeup artist is a umbrella term. There's so many other specialties beneath that term. And I'd rather be a specialist in one field that everyone's like, that's the person to go to versus being like, oh, she does it all okay overall. It's like, find that thing that makes you really excited. And you're like, dude, that's what I do. And so I think it takes a few years to get there. And it's what you see people's work kind of evolve in front of your eyes, and you start seeing that voice come out. And that's when, okay, they got it. But, yeah, at first, I think we all make the same kind of missteps, and it's a part of growing.
Right. Absolutely. what do you tell makeup artists and hairstylists and other artists who want to come in and do a photo shoot? Do you have certain things that you, assuming that you do, like test shoot, for some artists come in and they want to shoot with you? It may not be a test, but they're going to pay you to do a shoot that they want. What do you tell those artists when they come in? Is there a certain way that together that you guys prep for a photo shoot?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'm definitely the kind of person that I like to be somewhat structured, but I like to also have the ability to be flexible because we never know what's going to happen the day of. And a photo shoot just isn't about one person. It's about the entire group. So if the model comes in that day and she's just cut her hair and your whole plan was just being very specific with long hair, suddenly she has a bob, you have to realize you have to be as flexible. So when I test with a makeup artist, or if I have a makeup artist hiring me to do a shoot for her portfolio, we'll sit down and say, where are you headed? Like, where are you going? Where do you want to see your book go? That's what I want to achieve for you, more so than saying, let's just shoot. Like, we need to make sure this is worth your time. So we really try to kind of structure shoots based on what you need. And in most cases, you can never have too much clean beauty. That is where the money is at. That is where everyone's looking. They want to see what you can do with skin. So if you can have more clean beauty, they're going to go, oh, wow, she knows how to deal with skin, versus just always just massively covering up. So I always tell girls, like, let's really try to get things. I want to make you more money. That's my goal at the end of the day. I want people to go, ooh, I want to hire her. So we're structured, yet we're kind of loosely structured because you just never know what's going to happen the day of. So, and I think that's what we should be able to do on the fly as artists, is that we can – I mean, I've had shoots in the past where – I had a commercial shoot once that I walked onto the set. The model the day before the shoot had gone and had acupuncture done. And her right eye, the entire circumference of her orbital bone was bright purple. So they must have hit some kind of issue where it gave her a black eye. I mean, it was intensely black eye. And I had to go, okay, no problem, I can take care of that, and not let them see me sweat and just do what I had to do. But, I mean, of course I would have loved to be forewarned, you know, if I knew I was going in, like, the whole, like, army behind me. But instead, sometimes you just don't know. And you walk in, you're like, oh, we're doing a swimwear shoot, and the girl rode a mechanical bull last night. Okay, no problem. So you never know what you're going to walk into. And I think you just need to be able to work really easygoing and just go with the flow.
Absolutely. What photographers and makeup artists are you inspired by?
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy because I like different genres and different styles all over. I mean, I think there are certain people to look to who are just, like, iconic, like, style makers, like Scott Barnes, who's just out there, like, doing what he does. He does beautiful books, and everyone just watches what he's doing next. So I think that's like an artist I always kind of watch to see what he's doing, especially with the celebrities he's working with, because I think that even though people will argue, like, New York has all the style and fashion, I think that Hollywood really sucks a lot of those trends. So I'm always seeing what he's working on, because I think it's really cool to see how trends have changed. As far as photographers go, I mean, I'm really – and it's funny because it doesn't really mimic itself a lot in my work, but I really like Merton Marcus, because I think the campaigns they work on are so colorful and so bold, and color gets my heart pumping. Like, I love colors. So whenever I see those campaigns, I mean, they usually have, like, beautiful, like, redheaded girls and, like, beautiful golden blondes, and I just go nuts. So that's what really – I get more inspired by, like, compositions and colors and textures overall. That's kind of what – in play I go, I need that. I want that.
So talk a little bit, because I remember reading on your in your bio that you offer eco-friendly shooting options. What's that?
Yeah. So it's funny because that's the sad thing about living in Los Angeles at times, is that I think that eco-friendly was very trendy. I moved to LA 8 years ago, and I think that it was really trendy when I first moved here. But for me, it was very exciting because I don't like the idea of being wasteful. I don't like the idea of just taking stuff and throwing it in the garbage. Like, even with the water challenge this week, I'm like, hey, guys, can we just donate that money and not waste the water all the time? We're in Los Angeles. We have no water right now. So I'm always thinking about the big picture. And even as a makeup artist, I like to use, like, beauty blenders over, like, disposable sponges, because I just feel like if you go through a long day, you can go through so many sponges. A, that's a lot of money to spend. And two, it's just, like, that's going into a landfill somewhere, and I just don't want to think about those future generations being like, thanks, makeup artist. I appreciate those 18,000 Q-tips you threw in the garbage. So as a photographer, I used to work a lot in the eco business. I still get quite a few clients who are looking for somebody who can, I use LED lights that pull so much less wattage. You can do battery charge power packs with those. So you're really not pulling power from the grid. Usually what I do is I recycle my papers. If I use background papers, I have total recycled papers. And they will laugh at me, but I'm like, trust me, this is for a good reason. But sometimes I, like, when I've worked at other people's studio, I see them just, like, cut these, like, 12-foot rolls of paper and just throw them in the garbage, and they're fine. There's, like, one little dot on them or one little tear, and I'm, like, freaking out inside thinking, like, that is so much waste. Like, at least give that to a kid to color on or something. Like, that is so sad. So that's what I try to offer is, especially, I mean, right now with skincare, I see so much more skincare going in that direction. I want to make sure that my clients understand that I have that option available to them if it's really important to them. So I feel that it's a good thing to have. Nice. I mean, even for makeup artists as well. I mean, makeup artists also, to have some eco-friendly options, organic options in your kit is always a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you were at Fame Expo this year.
Yes.
We were so busy that we didn't get a chance to hear you speak. What was your presentation at Fame all about?
Okay, so I did a presentation called 7 Things a Photographer Won't Tell You. And
okay, yeah.
So the thing is that I just know that when I was growing my own business, and growing as a makeup artist and even as a photographer, it's great to see both sides of the coin. You know, I feel like I'm sneaky because I'm like, I'm a makeup artist who sees how, like, photographers, makeup artists, and then also I'm a photographer who understands how makeup artists treat me. So I think it's a great kind of viewpoint of how to handle the way you're growing your business is how you could really contact these individuals you want to team up with. Because at the end of the day, we're looking for teamwork. We're not looking for, like, I want to be a star. You want to look for the people who are going to see your aesthetic and understand and help you reach your goals. So I just talked about, in a nutshell, like, as a photographer, sometimes you're going to not have a lot of direction for your team. Now, basically, you can look at my portfolio and you can get an overall gist of what I like things to look like in general. Mm-hmm. You can see it's, like, usually clean skin, a bold pop of color, just certain trends I do like. But I've gone in as a makeup artist and people just go, make her look hot. And I'm like, wait, hold up. Like, hot is a very vague term. Like, are we talking, like, porn star hot to you? Or are we talking, like, beautiful, like, gorgeous Pantene hot? That's hot to me, but I'm a girl. So, you know, it's always a weird thing about terms and trying to figure it out. So sometimes I feel like, you know, you have to kind of go into somebody, like, to their, you know, studio and really ask them, like, okay, so what do you find aesthetically pleasing? And if they're not going to give you the information, you need to do your research and really look at what they love on their website. And usually people who put their favorite photos up front on their website. So you can really look at even, like, the first 4 photos in someone's portfolio per section and go, okay, for beauty, they like skin like this. And for fashion, they like more edge or more definition or more just overall, like, over-the-top makeup. You can get a feeling for it really quickly, and it lets you go in and rock that job, because otherwise, it's really tough. And then one thing that's a deal to me, and I'm starting to work on this program right now, is that is photographers won't share to you, like, what they're going to do for their lighting. So you can go on to a set, and you can see the set, but you really don't know what the photos are going to look like until you actually see them on a screen or on the back of their camera. So,
right.
I mean, sometimes you walk into a set, and you're like, okay, this is really pretty. And then you look, and you're like, whoa, this looks totally different. It's a really fashionable shot. Like, there's really hot light. And so I think it's really important to understand lighting. So I'm starting to teach right now about lighting, about how lighting affects your makeup and how your technique should be different based on the lighting they're using. So, yeah, it's like, if you walk in and you see a hot light, old school light, from 1920s kind of movie making, you'd go more intense with that makeup, be all blown out. And understanding lighting really helps you rock the job big time. So I think that's something that is understated quite often. And most people I talk to, I do workshops with, or even at the same expo, they're like, I've never even heard of this before. I'm like, it's such a big deal. Like, I can't believe like schools aren't teaching this because it's a major part of what we do. I'm really a big advocate for knowing lighting. I think that terms can be very confusing. I've had photographers tell me that things were too greasy when they met, they didn't like the dewy skin that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait, hold up, greasy? No, honey, that's dewy. That's good. But the whole time they don't hear that they just see greasy in their eyes. I'm like, why is she so shiny? I'm like, no, she looks radiant. Like, terms are all over the place. So I think it's really communicating. Like, if I can use all my key terms that I use, it doesn't mean that the guy I'm talking to is going to get a clue about what I'm talking about. So if I'm like, she's giving me a really glossy lip, they're like, oh, it's a shiny lip. I'm like, sure, whatever. So terms are confusing. And like, if photographers are like, so dude, I don't get your terms. I don't know what you mean when you talk about the orbital bone or the crease. Just make her look hot. You know, it's tough. So I think I try to, I always joke around, like, I almost had to dumb down my language to say, like, so you don't like the fact that it's shiny. Okay, great. I'll go in there and mattify it or whatever, you know. Like, they end up saying, well, you powder her. I'm like, it's not about powder. Like, no, it's not about that. But it's like a lost cause sometimes. So really understanding that, like, even though you know your terms, you know what you're doing, sometimes you have to just get down to the bottom of it fast and be like, so you don't like that? Great, I'll fix it. The fourth thing I talked about is the old, like I said, make her look sexy, make her look hot. That's like completely a lost cause sometimes, because depending on who you're working with and what kind of set you're on and what kind of job you're on, you never really know what that means. Like, are you talking Victoria's Secret sexy? Like, that's very different than, like, let's say Playboy sexy.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
You know? So, I mean, I've been in that situation before. I'm like, I don't know what you think sexy is, and I'm kind of creeped out right now to ask you, but I just need a better idea. So it's really not a bad idea to even keep, like, a little, like, sample book in your kit and be like, you mean like this or like this? And, like, one or the other. One time I had a photographer ask me to make a girl look like a girl next door. Well, in L.A., a girl next door is put together, right? So I made this girl look gorgeous, and she had a glossy lip, and he was like, what did you do? And I'm like, this is how the girls look in my neighborhood. And it was really funny. He wanted, like, you know, Billy Joe Sweetheart from, like, Kansas, and that's not
right.
How I think. So I think that you have to be like, dude, you just got to tell me, like, give me a visual example. Like, I really think visuals are the best way to go. And then you can go, bing, I got it. Okay, I can do that. Because, I mean, sexy, dude, it's like such a crazy term. And like I said, then you feel really creeped out.
That's a really good point, because I know, like, in film, you know, when you, like, meet, when the department head meets with the director and the director's going, you know, for a certain look, sometimes you'll have, you'll put together something to present to the director, you know, just to kind of see what he's thinking and whatever. And so now that you both have a visual in front of you, can say, well, I was thinking more like this instead of that. You know what I mean? So I think that's a great idea, because
all the time. Well, this is the greatest example I got recently. It's a friend of mine who is such a sweetheart. He's a makeup artist in New York City. He like Facebook chat me one day and said, like, I was working on a set and the photographer asked me for grunge. And he said, what do you think grunge is? I'm like, for me, I think grunge, I think of, like, Courtney Love. I think of the 90s with, like, flannels. And I think of, like messed up eye makeup and, like, a bold lip, like a really deep wine lip, you know, and just, like, really pasty skin. And he's like, that's exactly what I thought, too. And apparently, once again, a term issue, the photographer, they kept on going back and forth, and finally the photographer brought up a photo from Google and showed him like an anthropology picture, or like just a very like girls have very glowy natural skin, and they just have been wearing like layers of clothing. So once again, the photographer wasn't thinking about makeup; he was thinking about the overall look of it, being, oh, she's grungy because she has several layers of clothing on. Not that her face has a grunge-style look from the 90s. So this poor makeup artist had done all this layering of black makeup and, like, already done a bold lip, and he was like, what is this? And how do you go back to the, okay, we're going to scratch the totally clean face? That's pretty tough to go to make that work. And that could have been sidestepped by, like, okay, hold up. Like, I know you, that's a term that, in general, I think 98% of people would think Courtney Love, but that 2% was right in front of him as a client, you know? So it's just, it's tough. So the visuals are really good. And then I think that visuals get people excited, too. So keep it in your kit as some ideas of what terms are to you.
Right. That's a good idea.
Right? Hi. I'm a thinker sometimes, Hi. Ladies.
How weird is it? How weird is it being on a photo shoot, being the makeup artist on the shoot? You know that you're a photographer, but you're sitting here and you're watching the photographer. You're watching his lighting. You're watching the things that he's asking for. But you're a makeup artist. Is there ever times you're sitting there saying, "Gosh, you probably should do it this way"?
Oh, yeah, all the time. It's very tough. And it's like, you know, and I know my role, and I also know when it's appropriate. I mean, a lot of times I get hired by photographers who just want to bring their work to a new level. So I feel like they are inviting me into their studio to bring their work to a new level. And if I see that something's going awry, I'll go, hey, listen, guys, like, listen. Like, I know this looks great, but I think if we do this and then you put a diffusion here, you're going to like it better. Just give it a try. And I step off set real quickly. I just a quick little, like, constructive, you know, saying, like, hey, listen, you can give it a try. If you don't like it, I'm just going to step off set. And once they do a change and go, oh, I love this. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Then I'm like, okay, I'm not a jerk for doing that. But, of course, I have bigger jobs. I just have to take the back seat and go, okay, you bite my tongue. Or sometimes it's just great because I see things happening. I'm like, oh, I've never thought of that. That's amazing. So it is great. So, I mean, I think that being a makeup artist who has transitioned to photography gives me a really different point of view about how I see my photos and how I treat my teams as well. So I think it's a touchy thing. And there are many times I've, like, been jumping out of my skin, like my eyes uncontrollably twitching, like I must go into the back room. Where is the green room? Like, I can't watch this happening. But I think it happens no matter what. You know, if you work with a photographer for a long time who just has been amazing, and you go in for a new test shoot with somebody who's difficult or just seems to be, like, all over the place and can't just, like, get it done. I mean, I've worked with people who will make 15 lighting changes before we shoot, and I'm like, seriously? Like, wow. But you have to be like, that's great. Okay, let's do this. And the whole time you're like, okay, I would have done it differently, but what can you do? And all that really matters is the end result. Are the photos at the end or even the video at the end what you're looking for? Then that's great. But, yeah, it's tough.
I can just not imagine. Can you explain the difference, because I know you do both, but explain the difference between beauty and advertising in regards to makeup and photography?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so, you know, basically what I would say is beauty can be anything that just happens to be more of a cropped-in sense of somebody. So if I'm working at a beauty set, I could go do something that you would see maybe at, like, Sephora, where it's, like, really fun and colorful and textural and shadows, and it's very dramatic. And you can go to just doing, like, a clean skin and having it really bold with a ring light, with a bold lip. And beauty can be anything. I see beauty more so as something you would do for a campaign for only a cosmetic company. So I collect my inspiration from, like, cosmetic companies. I'm like, oh, I love this campaign. It's so bizarre. It's just so great. Whereas when you're working commercial beauty, you're looking more at a lifestyle point of view. So when I work in commercial beauty, where a client might call me and say, hey, I have a skincare line. I need to have photographs. It's going to be clean, 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 minimalist clean. There is no glitter. There is no red lips. There is no liner. It is very minimal. So that's what I'm saying is that most of the jobs have been most beneficial to my business and also the most lucrative have been those that have been squeaky, squeaky clean. So I think that artists have a hard time separating that in their books. they'll go, this is beauty, and their entire book is really over-the-top avant-garde conceptual beauty. And while that's fantastic, if I can't see you can do a clean eye with clean skin and, like, just a pretty dewy lip, then I just don't think you can do a skincare ad. And, honey, you want that money in that kind of market, so you've got to get that in your book. So I think that that's a tough thing, is really realizing, like, I know it seems boring, but it actually takes a lot of skill to do a beautiful, clean skin look. And then as far as, like, you know, more in photography, it goes the exact same way. Like, makeup and photography, we have all those same kind of categories. So when I'm shooting an ad and someone says to me, okay, we want to keep it, you know, clean, it has to be really commercial, it has to be lifestyle, I know to direct my team, like, okay, we're going squeaky clean on this, guys. Like, we need to make sure that she has no makeup visible on her face. So she's perfected, but she looks like she just woke up, and she woke up that amazing, like we all wish we woke up like. So that's how it kind of differs. So I really try to guide people in saying, like, really work on photos that are really clean. Like, look at Neutrogena ads. Look at ads for skincare. That's what you really need to work on and try to build yourself with a bit more. Because once I've convinced my friends and my colleagues and my clients to do that kind of clean work with me, they'll say, I just booked the biggest campaign of my life with that image that we did together. And it's so rewarding. I'm like, okay, apparently I know what I'm talking about a little bit, because if you book this big job, I'm like, okay, it just shows you that it doesn't always have to be over the top, which, even though that is really fun, and like I said, it speaks to our spirit animal every time you get to do something just fun. Fun doesn't always book the big jobs. You need to make sure that you can show, if you're going to do beauty makeup, you need to show you can do both sides of it.
Absolutely. That's so true. That's so true. Like, what are some of the common mistakes that you see in, like, a makeup artist's portfolio?
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, so I must get about 20 makeup artists a week who write me inquiries to test with me. And this is even kind of slightly off topic, but the two things I see wrong with makeup artists who are contacting me is, first of all, they're not ready to shoot the work that I'm shooting. They have all snapshots in their book, literally like all Instagram pictures in a portfolio. And I'm like, okay, wait, hold up. Like, wow. And sometimes I can see there's potential there, but usually I'm like, okay, you haven't even been on a set enough to know how to work on set with me. And I'm really easygoing, and my sets are just fun. But if someone is nervous, it throws off the entire energy of the set. So usually it's always like, okay, you're not ready for this. And sometimes I'll take time and, like, actually say, listen, I'm here to help you. I'll take the time right now. I have a minute of time. But most of all, I see artists who have really – like, pictures just don't benefit their book. And I think what happens, and I did the same thing, is when you first start building your portfolio, you work with, like, everybody who wants to work with you. You don't care if they're good or bad. Just please bring me into your studio. I just want to get my brushes on someone's face. So you'll work with everybody you possibly can work with, and you're not at all selective. And I think you need to be selective and choose the people who have the style that you want to build with. And I always joke around and say I have a 50-50 rule. If a photographer has 50% of work that you love and, like, 50% that you don't like, you're probably going to get the I don't like area, not the 50% you love. It's like the 50% you love is probably just all flukes. And this is just my own personal experience. That's probably not their style. That was just lucky days, good teams that came together. Oh, the sun was shining, the skies opened up, whatever. That happened that day. But usually you go in and you get the weird work. You're like, oh, man, this looks like everything else I didn't want. But be really selective, because everyone, when they start working in different sets, when they get back a photo, they feel like they're obligated to put it in their book. Like, even for like a month, like, I better post it or else someone will be upset. And that is damaging your book. Like, as long as it's there, if someone's looking at it, they're going to go, oh, why? And trust me, I go to people's portfolios all the time and go, no, I'm sorry, you got to take this out and put this at the front and move this around, and this is how you'll get booked better. This is what I'm seeing as an outsider. Because also, as creatives, we have attachment to photos that may not be because we love the photo. It could be because we had a great time on the set. The model was amazing, and we laughed the entire time. We shared great stories when she was in the chair. And then you get back to a photo, and whether it's good or not, you're instantly kind of have, like, rose-colored glasses on because you're seeing the girl through that story. So I think that's why portfolio critiques are really important. And to do that before you start reaching out to people who you really want to build with, make sure you got it right. Once you write the email, and I get so many emails that are just so strange, girls who are really aggressively trying to, like, work with me, and they'll send their rates immediately. I'm like, I don't even know who you are. I've never seen your work. And sometimes you'll open their book, and the first thing you see is their special effects work. And I'm like, how did you come to me, and how did you feel like I was the one to contact today when you have all special effects in your book? Because I shoot right. zero special effects. It really grosses me out. You are very talented, but I get really creeped out and skeeved out. So I don't want to see scams. Yuck. So that's why I shoot beauty. I'm like, I want Band-Aids and all of that. So I think that people need to really, instead of seen as like, oh, they're a photographer who shoots girls, like, you need to be like, I'm trying to be a photographer who shoots special effects. I'm looking for a photographer who shoots clean skin. And be like, I have some examples. Or even if you say, like, I have some examples, but they're not exactly what I want to have in my book, and you're more of what I'm looking for. And you can never go wrong with flattery and some knowledge of the person you're writing to. So like I said, do your research. Read their bio. Look at their books and go, I really love what you did with this so-and-so campaign. Like, the skin tones were so beautiful and the colors. Immediately I'm like, oh, tell me more. So you looked at my book? Great. You know, like, we're all wired like that. Like, if you tell me you like stuff I do, I'm going to give you more time. So that's the number one thing I see is, like, make sure you reach out to the right person and do it the right way, and make sure your book is ready, because otherwise it's like you feel so sad. You're like, oh, this poor girl has no idea.
Wow. Now, you do photography classes and workshops, makeup classes and workshops, and you mm-hmm. also mentor. So can you
yeah.
talk a little bit about each of those, just given, you know, a basic, you know, basic idea of what's involved for those out there who are listening?
Yeah. So basically, I've really found something I'm very passionate about, and that is education. And I feel like that's just, even if I can affect someone's business in such a positive way with just a few minutes of their time, I'm doing something so extraordinarily different than just being in a studio and making pretty pictures. So I first started off doing mentoring about 2 years ago for photographers. I was invited on a nationwide tour. I lived on a tour bus with other photographers who shoot mostly weddings and portraits, and I was the one very commercial-based photographer. So I started working with photographers, and then really quickly I was like, you know, dude, but I was trying to build myself in Detroit. I was so longing to find someone who would shoot what I wanted them to shoot. I wanted my book to look a certain way. I couldn't find that. I had to be that person. So I reached out to some makeup artists I knew and said, hey, would you be interested in me, you know, offering some classes, doing some portfolio building with you? And people just start jumping at the chance, like, oh, my goodness, I would love to be able to work on something that is my vision, and I put it together. I'm like, it's really fun when you have control over this shoot because it's for you, you know. It's not for a client. It's not for the photographer. It's for you. So you tell me what you're looking for, and I'll tell you if I think it's good for your book, and then we'll go forward. So that's how it kind of came to fruition. So I have some and I've just been trying to, like, team up with people who I think are very influential, who are really fantastic educators. So, like, I know I have, like, a workshop coming up in October with Donna Mee, and I've worked with her in the past. We've had a lot of fun together. So I think it's really cool to work with makeup artists in that regard. So, first of all, I don't think a lot of people are doing that. I think that makeup artists kind of get left behind when it comes to that kind of workshop. You get a lot of, like, hands-on workshops. You get a lot of, like, technique workshops. But it's really rare someone says, hey, tell me what you want to do and we'll do it, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, and that's what I wanted. So that's why I started offering that. It's really cool. Now, one thing I have noticed is that sometimes in the smaller markets I've gone to, like, I just went to Miami, and one student had me do a one-on-one with her before her portfolio shoot, and I just showed her how I work on clean skin, how I do clean skin. So I think in smaller markets, like when I started in Detroit, we're really heavy-handed. We're almost like shellacking people's faces with foundation. It's just like you get up with your foundation brush and you're just covering every square ounce of skin, you know? And more of the commercial markets like New York and LA, we're definitely lighter-handed, and we make sure that the skin looks more about skin, less than product. So I showed her how to do my technique, and then she did it on her model, and the skin looked beautiful, and she looked radiant. She's like, I've never learned this before. And then we shot for her portfolio, and the photos we got were so beautiful, and the makeup was so perfectly what she needed for her book. So I've been trying to book more of the workshops where I'm doing some education up front that's just really fun, and I know it's very different. And then we go into that shoot. So their shoot is not just what they're looking to get done for their book, but they're also going in with a different approach. So they're really building their book the way they need to. But I don't want to waste their money or their time. That's just bad, you know?
What do you think, how many pictures do you think an artist needs in their book, for instance, if they're seeking agency representation? How many pictures would you suggest? And then what would they all be, should they all be the same types of looks, or should there be a variation of looks?
This is definitely a debatable topic. And I think this is a general topic as well, is that I rather see someone have fewer photos in their book that are fantastic than a book full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, it's about refining your book. So have other eyes look at your book. And I really think that having diversity in your book is really important. I have a client right now who believes that she needs an Asian makeup artist because she is Asian. Mm-hmm. And if I had a girl who was a makeup artist who was working with me who had several Asian models in her book, I could say, look, here's this artist. She can work on your lid. She knows how to do this. And it builds confidence. So I think, and when I'm booking for cosmetic jobs, I need to look at someone's book, and I'm like, they've never done anything like this before. I'm instantly going to say, I don't know if this is the right person for the job. So I think it's personally, I want to say a healthy book. I think it's really important when I look at people's books that they have more variety than just having several stories. Sometimes people will have like five similars from a story. So maybe they shot a fashion story and they shot 10 looks, but they put five in their book. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You shot a story. Congrats. But overall, I want to see more how they work through transitional changes, how they work on different skin types, how they work in different textures. That kind of stuff. So really, I think it's with stories too. Makeup artists tend to put like even the bad parts of the story in their portfolio, and I'm like, why would you feel this necessary? And they're like, oh well, I didn't want to take one out. I'm like, well, I never knew it existed to begin with. So who cares if you take it out? No one knows the photographer in the magazine. Like, just no, this is not working in your favor. Like, the hair is in the girl's face, and like she's not even looking at the camera, and like there's like something obscuring her nose, like a tree branch. You're like, why is this in your book? This is not showing what you do. I'm like, well, yeah, it's the part of the story. And I'm like, I know, honey, but you gotta get this out. This is not helping you. So I think it's about really sitting down and saying, what shows what I do the best? If you are missing things in your book, put them in there. I have a mentoring client in Detroit who had no dark skin in her book. And like, I was like, what? You have no beautiful dark skin girls in your book? And she was like, no. And I'm like, okay, we're going to change that. Because, hi, that's like your market. Why would you not have showed that you could do that? And for me, that's like one of my big badges of confidence is that when I first moved to LA, girls would come to my studio and go, you're doing my makeup? And I'm like, honey, I'm from Detroit. I can do your skin like no one else. And they go, oh, okay. And then they sit back and they're like, oh, girl, you know what I'm doing? And I'm like, yeah, I do know what I'm doing, you know? So, but once again, for me, I'm like a total blonde girl with blue eyes. You would never think that I would be comfortable. Like, oh, you know, but it's what I do. It's what I've done for years. But people don't know that because they just look at my portfolio unless they see it in my portfolio. So make sure you're building a portfolio for your market. So, you know, if you're missing something you need and no one else will shoot it for you, find someone who will. Even means, like, doing a workshop for, like, hey, I want to just work on all Asian girls. I want to work with all beautiful dark skin. And, you know, I just want to do really, like, I always call in my assistant who's from Haiti because she has, like, the darkest skin possible. And I'm always like, you need my assistant in your book. She's gorgeous. She's commercial. She has a beautiful smile. And her skin is, like, amazing. And they're like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, you need her in your book because you need to see that diversity. And it makes me sad. Like, even cosmetic lines are missing that kind of diversity. So what can you do?
Absolutely. I think that's very important for artists to know, is that you have to learn how to do other skin tones besides your skin tone.
Your own, right? Yes.
Yeah,
so yeah,
true. Absolutely, because you may not work as much if you don't. But then on the
right.
other hand, you would hope that photographers, directors, producers, whoever's doing the hiring would also think past that. You know what I mean? They would also hire based on someone, you know, their resume or their portfolio, what, you know, what those You know, instead
right.
of, okay, because you're Asian, you're great for this job because we have all Asian talent.
Right, exactly. And that's what Mimi said about the client who just recently called me, because she's like, well, I live in Hong Kong, I need to make sure the person understands me. And I'm like, it's not about understanding you. It's about knowing how to work with your lids, which is, like, something that every makeup artist should be able to do. And it's sad that she thinks that because I have a normal lid would mean that, you know, that I can't work on her lid. And I do have to admit, I remember when I first started doing makeup, I worked for Clinique, and one of my first clients was Asian. And I remember I did this beautiful eye, and she opened her eyes, and poof, it was all gone. And I was like, what happened? Like, all my beautiful work was gone. But I had not learned how to work with a hooded lip yet. So I think it's really, in the beginning, we're all kind of like, okay, wait, well, hold on. Like, you're used to your own face. You start with your own face.
Right.
You start doing makeup when you're 12, 13, 14, and you work with your own face. So you know how to work with those own obstacles. Like, I know how to work with a big old Italian schnoz because that's what I have. So when girls have noses, I'm like, I can do that nose. I got that nose. Same thing with, like, you know, I have an artist who, it was really funny because I did a workshop in Detroit that was fabulous. And when I was bringing in the models, it was, and it's just, it talks about diversity and about how still, no matter where, what market you're in, it's strange because, like, all of the artists, like, all of the black girl artists were like, I want all the white girls in my book. Like, I need more than in my book, so I want to work with white girls. And I was like, seriously, you don't work with all the white girls? And she's like, we never get hired for that. I'm like, why? You're fabulous. Mm. And I'm like, well, no, people think that, you know, I only work with black girls. And I'm like, that's so strange that people go, well, you're white, you should have a white model, and then you're black, and you should have a black model. Like, why? But it tends to really happen still, and I think it's really prevalent. And it's, like, I don't even like to think like that, but when you go and do these workshops, like, especially smaller markets, you really see it, where it's like, honey, there's so much more out there. We need to make sure that you can show that you do all of this.
Right.
And if you don't have darker, you know, colors in your kit, go get them. Like, what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I'm sure you've seen it where – I've seen girls will come in and they'll go, oh, I have this, like, you know, L'Oreal color. And I'm like, that is for, like, an Indian girl. That's not for a black girl. What do you talk about? It's, like, red.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, well, oh. And I'm like, okay, well, you can go warmer, but you need to, like, be careful because you don't want to end up where she's so warm it looks like she's, like been out in the sun for too long. And
exactly.
I've had artists come in who don't have dark skin in their books, and they make the girl look so ashy. And I'm like, okay, this is why the model's freaking out. Let me show you how to do the skin properly. And it's like, I think we're really missing that element, especially for a lot of schools. I think a lot of schools kind of just work on just Caucasian skin. And living in Los Angeles, like, I'm a minority here. So I can't imagine being an artist who could only do white girls. Like, that just blows my mind.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's really important to show that you are able to work on every skin tone, every eye type, every obstacle you can think of that you're not in your own camp, you know, like, oh, I'm not used to working with that. Like, well, then you better figure it out, because if you get hired for a commercial job and you've never done that, you want to be on a set going, I've never done this before. Oh, my goodness. Like, having to draw in brows. I've had to do that in so many sets where the girls come in with shaved eyebrows. I'm like, yikes, there's no hair. Wow. Okay. It's a cultural thing. I get it. Let me draw them in here, you know, and you just go, okay, I need to do this. I've done this before. So just really learn how to do everything you can, every kind of ethnic, because you never know what your next major job could possibly be. And to not get a job because you don't have it represented in your book would be such a travesty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one thing that I noticed about your, just shifting gears a little bit, one thing that I noticed about some of your pictures in your beauty portfolio, I can definitely see that you love color, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that you did it, you shot for a nail magazine.
Yes.
But I notice a lot of your pictures, you do implement the nails, and I don't think that they're necessarily nail photos.
No.
I didn't think so.
No, not at all.
But apparently you, I don't know if that's your pop of color, or if that's just something that you really love?
I think it's usually a little bit of both. I think we all have something where, like I said, we have a different aesthetic, and I really find that I like it. Models instantly go to touch their faces. And there's so many times they come in with just like this snaggletooth gross nails that they've been chewing on, and the black nail polish is all chipped off, and you're like, man. So the first thing I tell all my artists to do when I'm doing a workshop, I'm like, okay, I want you to go right to CVS right now. You're going to buy some nail polish remover. You're going to go buy some press-on nails and keep them in your kit. The bolder the color, the better. Because you never know when to walk into the studio that day, and if you can be the rock star who fixes her hands that if she wants to have her hand on the face, we can, like, that's amazing. Like, I always keep a million press-on nails with the little sticky tabs on the backside so you can pop them right off. But there's so many times that, like, you know, you're not planning on shooting hands, but girls instantly have a tendency to touch their faces, and you're like, oh, that's beautiful. But if their nails look bad, we can't shoot it. And we can only do so much in post-production without it looking completely cheesy. So it's like, you know what, let's just go for nails. We'll match nails to trends. And yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And then I find that the shots I do where there are hands incorporated get published more than those that do not. Isn't that crazy? It's so true. If you look at most of my published work, it always has hands involved. But also in the commercial world, let's say you are brought in for a skincare campaign. The client always says, can we have her holding the bottle? And if her nails aren't done and there's not a manicurist on set, which there rarely is, they never have a budget for it, what are you going to do? So having those simple skills, I mean, like, I can clean her up real fast. And then you don't have to do, like, a full set of acrylic. I'm just talking about, like, you know, taking off nail polish, cleaning the edges, putting on some clear nail polish, or popping on some, like, pink and whites or whatever, just to make it look like her nails are ready to be shot, makes you a rock star. So, yeah, I think it's I think it's something that's really important to bring into the pictures. And I think they do complement the color scheme. Like you said, I'm a lover of color.
Absolutely.
Love color. And like, when we can have
beautiful.
A fun nail. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's really a different way of telling a story, because I think when girls are just sitting straight onto a camera for a shot, you can't have a full beauty story where she's all looking straight into the camera. It's just shoulder. You have to bring in different elements. So, and like, you know, sometimes manicures are really hard to find.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they're really tough to find when you do. I worked with an artist who was from Ohio. Now she's in New York, and she's a rock star now as far as manicures go. She's amazing. But when she comes to L.A. and work, I'm like, please don't leave me. I need you. You know, like, I need you to stay. And she's like, I'm going to New York. I'm like, okay. Like, blowing kisses. Sending creepy emails to her about how much I love her. But yeah, nails are always that one element that you're lacking. And I think by bringing up your game and being able to do that, I mean, it makes it totally different.
Definitely. And, you know, the great thing about it, though, when I look at the pictures, it doesn't look like it's anything stagey or forced. It just looks like their hands.
Yeah. Well, that's what I want them to do. I can't stand when girls and photos have these, like, you know, claw hands around their eyeballs, and it looks so forced. And, I mean, the minute I see them, like, I shoot this. This is not my style at all. And hands are such an important detail. I mean, it's just like someone's posing their face. If it's not natural and relaxed, it just looks awkward, and you feel the pain there. You're like, something's wrong. They have some kind of arthritic issue? Like, what's going on? So I always try to make sure, like, when I do castings through the agency, they know I like girls who have good hands and are not, you know, masculine looking and have good nail beds, because they know that usually I'm going to end up throwing some hands in those photos. But if I do see tension in their hands, I usually coach them to shake off their hands first and then lightly place their hands against whether their face or their hair or whatever. And I'm always quick to show them on myself, even though I look completely ridiculous doing it. I'll go, okay, I want you to put your hand on top of your forehead and bring your hand back to your neck. And I show them, like, okay, I'll do that. And then it seems to be more natural looking. And I think that's what works for beauty, is that we want to look at that image and go, like, oh, that looks, I want to do that, versus being like, oh, she looks weird. But then the ring's pretty, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, Courtney, we have really enjoyed our conversation with you. I could talk all night. about this, because I really, really love, I love your work.
Oh, thank you.
Don't be surprised if
Dude, totally. Oh, I would love that. We would be out of control. That would be completely nuts.
Let me ask you, Courtney, since you're from Detroit, now how long have you been in L.A.?
8 years.
8 years.
8 years. Okay. Do you know a makeup artist named Kim Jones?
I do.
Do you know Amber Crow?
Offhand, a name sounds familiar, but I don't.
But you do know Kim Jones from Detroit.
I know of her work, and it's really beautiful.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's one of those things I think that, and this is why I coach others to do as well, especially because I've been so far removed from Detroit. I still do a lot of work there, but Detroit is a very competitive market. I mean, it's very cutthroat market. It's such a small market. Everyone's just, like, clawing for those jobs. And because of it, it can get very icky. And L.A. is a little more open-minded. It's more like, there's plenty of work to go around. You know, no reason to be catty. But I always advise my artists to, like, try not to, like, keep up with the Joneses and constantly watch your competition. Like, I don't like the idea of doing that because I know the way I'm wired. Like, it's so competitive, and then I get down on myself. Like, why did she get all these jobs? And I have to, like, hide people on Facebook. It's just better for my rapport and for my brain to go, I'm doing well. I'm doing what I want to do. My focus is building the way I see it, and this is going to work. Instead of saying like everybody else, because we all talk about, you know, I think it's an ongoing joke that in social media we can talk about how busy we are, and some of my girls in like Indianapolis and Chicago will say, oh, this girl who works in Chicago, she'll say she has 14 jobs tomorrow. I'm like, really? Okay, first of all, no one can do 14 jobs tomorrow. Secondly, do you think they're all paid? I don't know.
Right.
I'm
right.
Like, you don't
right.
know. They're giving so little information. And then in your brain, you're like, I don't have a job tomorrow. I only have one job tomorrow. I'm going to watch some Anderson
right.
Cooper tomorrow. You know? So I think it's really important to, like, not watch what your competition's doing. And, like, know of people. And I just like to know people's names who I've heard great things about or seen beautiful work from. And that's how I like to think of people versus being like, well, I've seen that. I've heard that. I just want to go, you know what? Like, that's cool. Whatever. I've seen that work. It's beautiful. So yeah, I know it's really funny, though. Oh, you work in LA. Do you know? So I'm like, no, I really don't watch who's out there. Like, I just know that I'm happy doing what I'm doing, and I love what I do. So unless I've heard, like, a name, because I've seen something in a magazine, I just don't keep up with the Joneses, and I think it's healthy.
Right. Absolutely. I think it does help.
Like the names that pop out with the ones who approach me at shows, and we talk, and we're, like, girlfriends, and I'm like, I know her.
That's our
show.
What is beauty to you?
Okay. So beauty is, it's a term, right? It's just the terms we talked about discussed earlier. So for me, I see beauty everywhere. I see beauty in language and emotion and color. I see it definitely in texture. So when I look around for inspiration, it's not necessarily a face or a campaign. It could be in a texture I see in a puddle or, you know, like something that's in my backyard, a color scheme I see on the hummingbird that's my cat, you know, salivating watching at the moment. So I think that beauty is really a tangible thing, that we all see different things as beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that people should think more about what they're doing is what they find beautiful and trying to appeal to what they really find aesthetically pleasing versus trying to please everyone else. Because everyone's had that job that someone said, I booked the most amazing person. You get there like, oh, she's just not really my thing. Like for me, I'm going to age myself immediately, but I'm very like inspired by like 1990s, like supermodel beauty. Like for me, that's just that's like otherworldly beauty to me. Like I might find models that have that like certain like Cindy Crawford factor. I'm like, oh, I love you. You know, and that's what I'm looking for. And like sometimes artists who are younger will come into my studio and go, oh, I love this girl in the agency right now. I'm like, oh, I'm really not into like that like gap tooth thing she has. And she just looks so like British-y or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really into her. I'm like, oh, okay. No, I'm not into her. And I really stay true to what my style is. So I think that beauty is it's like, it's everything. And I think that to put everything into, like, this is beauty into one box would be sad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, quickly shout out your where people can find you on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, okay. So So I, of course, on Twitter, I'm under Courtney Daily Photography. And social media, I have like several different social media pages. It's insane. I know on Instagram, I'm also under Courtney Daily Photography. Best way to find me is to go to my coaching page. It has all my social media links right there, which is photobeautycoach.com. And that also has my workshops and suggestions for cities. So if you like what I have to say or think I'm an awesome hot mess and like what I do, write to me and say, I just had a girl say, will you come to Little Rock? I'm like, I will come to Little Rock if you find five others like you that would love for me to come to your town. So it looks like I'm going to Little Rock soon. So go there, send me a shout out, you know, look at my portfolio. I love it. I love people looking at my work and cooing. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We will definitely be in touch.
Yay.
We thank you and appreciate you coming on tonight, really. And we want to make sure everybody goes out, follows you on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook and all those. So it's photobeautycoach.com.
Yes, photobeautycoach.com. Yes, that's what it is. And that also links to my portfolio. My portfolio is CourtneyDaily.com, but you can just go to photobeautycoach.com, and they'll link you to my portfolio, and it's all right there. Just so it's, I like to keep things simple and easy because I have, like, an attention span of a B sometimes, so I need to keep it simple.
Don't we all?
Right? That's when we're makeup artists. Otherwise, we'd be in an office job.
Right.
All right, so everyone go out and follow Courtney and keep up with what she's doing. Thank you.
Awesome.
Once, Courtney.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a
great night.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys, for listening to the show tonight. If you liked it, please go out and mark it as a favorite. Make sure you tell your friends about tonight's show. You can go back out in about maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and it'll be out there for you to listen to again. Please share it on your Facebook pages, Twitter pages. People can come out and listen to it as well. There's a lot of informative information here. I think we all need to take note of what was said tonight, some great tips for how we need to go about getting our books together. So definitely want to share this information. And is there anything else you want to say, Denise?
I just wanted to add to go out and follow Beauty Talk on Twitter. We're beauty_talk. Follow us on Instagram at beauty_talk_media. You can follow us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio on Facebook. And you can follow us on BBM Messenger. Our PIN number is C002EB072. Again, that C is in cat, 002, E is in Edward, B is in boy, 072.
All right. Sounds good. Again, stay tuned. Next Sunday night, we will be back with another informative show. Stay tuned for that. I think next Sunday we had a panel discussion. So stay tuned.
Okay.
Who's all going to be joining us on that discussion next week. And until then, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.